I see this painting really as a couple's painting together with the other one. For me, it's a face as a mirror, but with a mysterious and very human life in its own.
Schiele's Valley, how a painting provoked restitutions for Jewish ownership in Austria.
Mr. Ray, what's going on? Tell us, who does Wally belong to? They were absolutely sure that this man, called Rieger, is the owner. Then Geray shows up and claims it to be hers. And the whole story starts all over again. Authorities all over the place. A prosecutor from Manhattan wants this case clarified. We were never against this clarification, but it lasted for 13 years.
Aber diese Klärung hat 13 Jahre gedauert.
A radio feature by Felix Diewald, Clemens Draxler, Juliane Egger, Almut Gräser and Victoria Posch.
Vienna, 1911. A young man is painting in his small studio next to the Wiener Prater, a huge public park in the center of Vienna. Only 21 years old, he had turned his back to the Academy of Fine Arts, which in his eyes was way too conservative. He had built a circle of artsy friends, amongst them Oskar Kokoschka and Gustav Klimt, and his style was evolving from Art Nouveau to Expressionism. By that time, he was more criticized for his provocative nudist paintings than he got recognition for his artworks in general. His name was Egon Schiele.
He hit society like a meteoroid. Back then, it was a civic and calm society, and he caused a big stir. It was not until several decades later that he started to receive recognition. We still had to fight for Schiele after all those years. Some never liked his art. People looked askant at us for collecting paintings from this, at least in their opinion, crazy artist.
Weil wir so einen verrückten Maler sammeln.
In literature, it is generally assumed that Egon Schiele and Vali Neuzil met in the beginning of 1911 in Vienna, when Vali was just 16 years old. Schiele had various female models at his disposal when Vali joined up with the artist. His encounters with previous models had been short and irrelevant. Vali, on the other hand, would soon play a key role in the life and work of Egon Schiele.
Soon, Vali and Egon worked and lived together, against all social rules back at these times for couples. A Viennese saying goes like that: once your reputation has busted, you can live your life without being abashed.
Vali did not live off of Egon. She always maintained independent and had her own apartment in Vienna. She had been working as a sales girl since she was 14 years old, which, among other occupations, she continued to pursue as Schiele's girlfriend and model. Vali did not work for Schiele for free. She got paid per session, just like the other professional models, a circumstance which kept a certain distance between the couple.
About a year after Vali and Egon met, he painted a portrait of her. Bildnis Vali shows the young woman from the forehead to her belly from a slightly elevated angle, her big blue eyes stare into mid-air. Her curly red hair surrounds the serious-looking face. Her head is leaning to the left and she radiates warmth and care. She wears a high-necked black blouse in front of a white background. One vine branch crosses the canvas on the right-hand side. During the same year, he also painted a self-portrait, wearing a black shirt in front of a white background, with a branch of lantern fruits to his left, thoughtfully leaning his head to the right. The Jewish gallerist Leah Bonitere, who owned a gallery in Vienna, bought the Bildnis Vali in the 1920s.
Oben und Balder von Schirach. Und nun ist der Führer hier. Wir sehen den Führer aufgerichtet vorne, im Wagen stehen. Nun kehrt ein auf den Heldenplatz.
Vienna, Berlin, Munich, 1938. The so-called Night of Broken Glass takes place. Tens of thousands of Jews are arrested and deported. Jewish stores, homes and synagogues are ransacked, looted and destroyed by the paramilitary SA forces, as well as German and Austrian civilians, who were encouraged by the Nazi government. However, in the newspapers of the Reich, the Night of Broken Glass barely makes headlines the following day. And in the short reports published about the horrific night, the Nazi government makes the violence look as it was a response to an assassination of a German diplomat that occurred at the same time.
The daily newspaper Wiener Zeitung, November 11th, 1938.
Reichsminister Dr. Goebbels to the people. Reprisal actions were taken all over the Reich against Jewish buildings and stores.
Enemies of the German Reich, especially Jews, but not only, were not regarded as citizens any longer. They ceded to be citizens with all the rights and privileges like others. Therefore, they were outside the law in a special way.
Says Viennese restitution lawyer Gregor Radkorb. He has worked on dozens of cases and is considered an expert in the field, having written an extensive commentary on the subject of restitution. Radkorb's office is highly secured, surveillance cameras and warning dog signs welcome visitors. One reason, apart from the high value, that made art so attractive for the Nazis was one of Hitler's personal dreams, explains director of the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna and member of the Provenance Commission, Eva Blümlinger.
Then in the later 30s, after 38, there was the plan from Adolf Hitler to build in Linz a so-called Führermuseum. On one hand, he took the art from, especially from Jews, but he also bought other art from non-Jews for a good price to bring all this art in the Führermuseums.
One of the many pieces of art taken away from Jewish owners in the course of Aryanization was Bildnis Wally. The former owner, Lia Bondicherie, could flee to England. After the war ended, attempts were made to restore stolen paintings.
The daily newspaper for Arlberger Volksblatt, May 31st, 1946. The Ministry of the Interior has to face the most difficult decisions the country has to deal right now. Decisions concerning restitution and reparation of assets and property seized during the Nazi era.
In 45, it was said that all acts of the German Reich, which were on the basis of National Socialist law, were void immediately. Yeah? And that was also the reason why the restitution laws were introduced.
This restitution law did not last for long. In fact, the paragraph simply expired and was never renewed, meaning that it was impossible for a private person in Austria to regain a looted piece of art from 1956 on. Bildnis Wally was one of the paintings that was given back to the owners while the law was still applicable. Unfortunately, in this case, it was returned to the wrong heirs.
Es wurde der Rieger Sammlung zugeordnet.
It was given to the Rieger collection. If you consider Schiele as an irrelevant, unknown artist, it's not far-fetched to think, oh, there's Schiele's cardinal and nun painting. Let's just give these other Schiele paintings to the Rieger as well. Maybe it was because of the occupation forces. As you can see, there was a lot of confusion going on after the war. No one knew what to do in this bombed country. There had not been well-organized authorities yet. There even was a federal monuments authority, but they had no idea who Schiele was.
Aber die wussten auch nichts von Schiele eigentlich.